Welcome back to the V Book Club podcast. This is a podcast by the makers of V Magazine and V Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Staggs, the editor of V, and I'm here today with Brian Martin, who is a local author and a marine biologist who also goes by Sea Lion Brian. You might have heard of him online, and we're so excited to have him here today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This is amazing.
Well, we're so excited to have you here and didn't realize that you live right here in Panama City Beach. So tell us a little about yourself and how you came to the area.
Well, I grew up in Massachusetts and I love the ocean. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to work with marine mammals. So I got a degree from Salem University. So I went to college with the witches and got a job at New England Aquarium and started working with sea lions. I fell in love with them. So mm-hmm. then I got my nickname. Mm-hmm. And from there, I wanted to experience different parts of the country. I went out to San Diego and trained sea lions and dolphins for the Navy. Then I missed my family. So I came back and I worked at Georgia Aquarium for a little while, but that was landlocked. I wanted mm-hmm. to be closer to the beach. So I was very grateful to be offered a position at nearby at Gulfarium Marine Adventure Park as a supervisor of sea lions, worked there for a bit and grew to director. And, life got a little bit crazy with social media mm-hmm. and moved around a little bit. And now living in Panama City Beach right near 30A. And it's we love it here.
Yeah, it is beautiful here. Mm-hmm. Can't beat it.
No.
Tell us, so being the director at Gulfarium and working with the sea lions, like what was your daily life like when you were doing that?
Oh, it's a lot. It's like having a whole lot of wet dogs at your house. we would be there early in the morning. You have to spend, a few hours making sure all the food's ready and cleaning all their habitats, checking all the animals, making sure that they're getting everything that they need, mm-hmm. training new things if the vet needs to look at them. So we were very busy, and then you pepper in opportunities to have educational shows and interaction programs. So it was nonstop all day long, mm-hmm. but it's very, very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that the animals really enjoy like having people around and having the audience there, like when you were doing these shows?
We don't know exactly what they're thinking yeah. or feeling, but I mean, it's entirely a positive reinforcement situation. Mm-hmm. So if they don't want to hang out, or, maybe it's breeding season and the adult male sea lions are like, hey, Brian, like, you're cool, but right now those girls over there, I'm a little bit more interested in them.
Right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You just let them, do their thing. And if they want to hang out, then that's really cool. But we would see them excel at getting to meet guests and really just have a lot of energy during presentation. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's cool to see them grow. It's like teaching a kid. If you're a parent and they're learning more and more and you just see them develop, it's the exact same thing in animal care.
Uh-huh. So did you have your favorites, like your favorite kids?
I don't know if any of the sea lions or penguins are going to hear this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say we don't have favorites. No. Yes, I have favorites.
How many do they have?
Oh, it's been, so I haven't been there for 2 years because mm-hmm. my career, my life took me in a different direction. But last I was there, I believe there was like 7 sea lions and maybe the same dolphins, penguins. There were like 20 or so. Mm-hmm. My numbers might be a little bit off now,
yeah. Close.
But that place is just such a wonderful, it's a little bit smaller, really intimate, and it's a wonderfully like mm-hmm. family place.
I didn't realize they had penguins.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's exciting. We need to go over there and check
yeah.
that out. I want to see the sea lions too. So how you said, you had a career shift going from that. Your social media handle, we want to say, is Sea Lion Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Did that take off while you were, while you were marine biologist and you still are, but how did that happen? Like, tell us how, because you have a big following on social media.
Which is still crazy to me. If we go backwards a few years, I actually, I had lost my dad in 2017. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, my partner Clayton at the time had developed, actually, he got ringworm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very odd story. He was digging in his mom's backyard and he saw some plastic underground, thinking it was a weed barrier, and he reached
okay.
down to pull it out and his hand went through and it was this slimy mess of stuff. And we realized that it was actually the past owner's pet and they had
oh,
not
okay.
marked it. And mm-hmm. so he immediately freaked out, wiped it on his leg, and then went inside to take a shower. Mm-hmm. And that's on his leg is where it started to develop. So he went to the doctors and they put him on antifungals and kept upping it. But 4 months after my dad passed, I had to rush Clayton to the hospital. He was in liver failure and they said he only had 8 months left. So I took care of him while working full time. And when he passed away, I really didn't know what to do. So I started writing on Facebook because I was by myself. My family wasn't around. I didn't know what else to do. And friends were asking me. It was just the easiest way to talk to everyone at once without having to repeat the story.
Right.
So I had Soaring Spirits International reach out to me in their widowed support group, which is amazing. And, you know, I'm glad I get to share that with the audience because I think it's really important that widowed people come in all shapes and sizes and ages.
Yes.
And you don't have to be married to be widowed.
Right.
That's very important. And they saw my writing and asked me to be one of their blog writers. So I represented the LGBTQ community for 5 years. I would write each week where I was at. And so as sharing that, I started to move forward with my life. I never say move on. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then the world shut down in 2020.
Yeah.
And I was extremely depressed. A friend reached out and she said, you've got to do something that brings you joy. And you used to love dancing. Like, why don't you jump on TikTok? And my answer was, wasn't that for like 12-year-old girls? And she's like, just go do it. Like, there's a bunch of people. We're being goofy. Maybe that'll help you. And I said, all right, I'll give it a shot. I'll do one video. Let's see what happens. So I did. And then I put my phone down. I walked away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm probably going to delete this. I came back. And I had jumped like already 10,000 followers in a couple of hours on my first video. And I realized it was fun. And I said, okay, well, I can't control that the world's in lockdown, but I can control this. What if I promise myself I'll do one of these a day just for myself? And that kind of started it all. So my following grew pretty quickly. Of course, I was sharing, you know, sea lions and all sorts of other unique things that people liked. There were fun dances we did in the show. So I shared those and the following grew. And then Facebook bought out Instagram and they decided that they were going to have Reels as competition. And when that happened, I mean, Facebook's my jam. I'm old enough. MySpace was a thing for me.
Oh, yeah. I had a MySpace.
I should go look you up. And
I'll put you in my top eight.
Yes. Awesome. Right next to Tom.
Yeah.
I knew that it was going to take off. So I took my TikToks and threw them onto Instagram and Facebook and it exploded, and now Facebook's at 1.1 million.
Wow.
Instagram's at like 260-something. But what I was doing is I was sharing my blog every week and sharing my dancing. And people were like, well, wait, you're sad, but you can be happy at the same time. And I realized that's what people needed, to see that those things could coexist.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has continued to build an amazing supportive community.
Yeah, well, especially during that time, too, when we all kind of needed a connection, and you know, you're obviously going through it worse than others already dealing with that grief. How would you say the response is now versus then? Like, are you still seeing a lot of growth in that area?
Yeah, I took a break after 5 years of writing the blog and putting it into a book form. I wanted to take a break, you know, like I'm married and I want to focus on our relationship now. And both of those things can exist. That's normal. Like, you don't just immediately forget people or not remember them. And and my husband, Devin, is amazing. He's so supportive. Thank you. It's been almost a year. And I want to say, like, I still see maybe not as much growth, but more relationships building. I'm getting to know more of the people following me. I'm seeing them become friends and sharing themselves. So I've started to occasionally share reflections of where I was and where I am now to show people, hey, this still is part of my life. And it keeps connecting. I recently, something happened on Instagram and I've gained about 20,000 followers in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Doing the exact same thing. So.
It's like you never know when the algorithm's going to hit you and it gets in front of the right person or someone shares it. So that's really neat. I mean, you know, it's such a compelling way to share life with everyone now. And I think it's a great way to build community, like you said. But I want to talk about your book too. So what made you want to take the blog posts that you were doing and kind of put them in this longer book form?
I wanted to fill some gaps because there were some things that I didn't have time to say, or there were things I realized after I wrote. And after 5 years, I'd always wanted to write a book. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was going to be mm-hmm. about. I didn't know it would be this. And seeing how many people resonated, because grief isn't, it's not linear. Mm-hmm. Grief and love are the two greatest uniters. They bring everyone together. As we get older, we make a joke. Everyone sees everyone at weddings and funerals.
Yeah.
And that's, it's so prevalent that people just need support mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. So I wanted to have it as an option for people. They could still see my blog, but I wanted to fill things in a little bit. And really, it was in honor of Clayton and mm-hmm. myself and the journey that I went through, and to show everybody you can find joy again. You can grow through your grief. So I was just very particular with the way that it looks. I wanted it to be coffee table size because I wanted it to be easy for people to read. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be something people could kind of sink into and feel their emotions. And however that connects, you know, maybe they were going through a divorce and the person they were in love with, that person is now gone. Mm-hmm. Grief, no, we don't need to out-grief each other. It's hard enough as it is. So making sure that the pictures were all in color because I was alive mm-hmm. and living and thriving okay. through all of this. And also there are a lot of people who are widowed that are older and it's harder to read small books. And I didn't want them to be left out mm-hmm. because of that. So. Mm-hmm. I felt like it had a place in the world, and it was going to also help his memory yeah. live on.
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful, and we have a copy of it here, so you can see what he's saying about, you know, the larger format, the photos. Tell us like what the response has been to the book.
It's been incredible, and yeah. it's still surprising to me. I think we've sold probably over 3,000. It's been 2 years. Haven't mm-hmm. really like pushed it. It's just been out there. But the messages that you get, you know, even if you just do something that helps one more person, mm-hmm. you've realized you made a difference. And mm-hmm. I have had people reach out and say they didn't even know if they were ever going to leave their house again. And now they're out and they're going to the gym or they're dancing with me in the morning.
Yeah.
They're feeling better. They just feel seen. And that's a gift in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wrote for my own well-being because emotionally that worked for me. But to know that putting it out there created a safe space for other people is, it turns around and it makes it so much more important. I've always asked why. You always want to ask, why is someone gone? Why did you have to go through this hard mm-hmm. thing? And I'm never really going to know the answer until I know the answer. So for now, if I know this is helping other people, it gives my loss meaning.
Right.
That there's a greater purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's awesome that you wanted to share that and that you're putting yourself out there. And it's like, you know, that's your heart in this book and online for everyone to see. And just want to thank you for doing that and for helping people through that. And I know that you have a book signing coming up mm-hmm. at Bookish Boutique in Panama City in Panama City downtown. So we had Jenny Kelly on the podcast this morning, who's the owner. We're excited to come over and see you during your book signing.
It's going to be great. Yeah. June 22nd, mm-hmm. Saturday. So it's a perfect time. Go to the farmer's market and then stop over and say hi.
Okay. And I hear there might be a dance party going on.
I mean, after. Rumor has it there's a restaurant across the street that might want to throw some fun at all of us.
Yeah. So, dancing, even just for like those few minutes a day, like I love how you're like, I'm going to do this every day and it's just going to bring me like a little bit of joy no matter what's going on. How do you decide like when you're going to do it or what music you're going to use?
Usually I try to be as authentic as I can. I mean, sometimes life is busy or like I want to sleep in the morning, mm-hmm. but I try to make it as authentic as I can. I get up in the morning, make coffee, and I'm like, how do I feel today? Or did I just buy a fun shirt? Mm-hmm. And does it match with a song? Mm-hmm. Like, that could be kind of cool. Is there something going on in the world where I could, you know, celebrating some kind of a day? I try to pick something that is, you know, like this morning, I usually wear a shirt on Mondays that says Boycott Mondays.
Yeah.
There's just fun ways to connect with people. I love music from all genres. So it's cool when I can pull people together in different ways. I mm-hmm. love music from the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of my mood and what strikes me, and I go with it. I'm going to show up as myself.
Yeah.
However that looks, if it's later in the day, if, you know, I'm telling my husband terrible jokes and sharing those with people.
I love those too, by the way. Big fan.
I want people to know that they can find joy, but they're not going to find it with everyone and in anyone else. Mm-hmm. They have to create the spark. Everybody else can throw logs on your fire for you, but you're the one that's got to show up and have the joy there to begin with. So simple things, finding a fun song you miss, love, doing a puzzle, the things you did as a kid. Why do mm-hmm. we have to, when we grow up, we don't have to not have fun anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so great. And then I want to also ask, when you were writing the book or the blog, was there any point when you were like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. Like, this is really hard to keep sharing these kinds of things.
The hardest part was the very beginning, mm-hmm. And feeling a bit exposed, because there's a fine line where you want to have boundaries and protect some of your emotions. And also, for how many generations, don't air your dirty laundry.
Right.
And that has caused a lot of people to press down their emotions and not process them. And I was fed up with it, and mm-hmm. I needed to get it out. I had no other way. So, you know, there were a couple of weeks where I was just grieving really hard and I didn't want to write about it. And they were wonderful. They're like, just skip a week. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And so they gave me that space. But yeah, filling that in and just having that roadmap of how I got to where I was just so, it was so healing. And actually, I did reach out to some people to see if there would be publishers that would look at it.
Uh-huh.
And their response was, you're going to have to rewrite it.
Oh, really?
And yeah, your grammar is off and your phrasing is weird and this and that. And I said, no, that's me on those pages. And grief does not care about grammar mm-hmm. ever. So the way it came out is exactly how it came out. And to change that would not be, it wouldn't honor
It wouldn't be authentic,
yeah,
right?
It wouldn't be authentic, mm-hmm. so yeah.
I know the publishing process is something that's really interesting to me. And, you know, we publish independently here at the Idea Boutique, but, you know, hearing about authors working with different agents and publishers and how they have a lot of rules, it's kind of crazy to hear some of those things. And we're going to talk about that with another author who's going to be on the podcast this season, who's my uncle Arlen. So you'll have to check out that episode. But I wanted to ask too, so lately you said on Instagram you've been getting questions from people who know that you're a marine biologist. We've had a lot of shark activity in the area lately, and we wanted to just sort of hear your thoughts on that and what might be going on.
Well,
From a scientific perspective.
From a scientific standpoint, I mean, I don't have shark research behind me. I know mm-hmm. I know enough to at least be able to add into the conversation some science, maybe to help people understand. I mean, for all of the victims, it, you know, mm-hmm. my heart goes out to them and their families. And it's scary, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Humans forget that we have fight or flight and instincts, and those can take over and really drive us to an emotional point where we fear a lot or start to make decisions based on that and not based on science. So even though I don't know exactly what's happening, and I'm sure, I really hope that some shark experts will maybe step up and shed some more light a bit more on them, I do mm-hmm. know that what we're seeing is really odd. Yes, you'll have them every once in a while. And around here, though, to hear about bull sharks, and they're usually in the bays and the estuaries and not mm-hmm. necessarily out on the beaches. They are everywhere. But to see the level that we have, our ocean temperatures, especially around here, have been warmer each year. That can really change reproduction, especially for prey species like crabs. Like, if we're not seeing enough of those, those are big, high on the diet of bull sharks.
Okay.
And if they are also one of the most aggressive animals. Their testosterone level is way above everything else. So mm-hmm. if they are strained and they aren't finding food for whatever reason, overfishing or pollution or water temperature changes, they have to go find it somewhere else. And mm-hmm. there's pompano running right on the first sandbar, right. And a lot of the incidents have been there. I don't know if they're looking for food there. There's a lot of crabs and crustaceans that they could eat, but that's where all the people are.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I don't want to make an excuse for sharks. It's scary for people, but yeah. They just honestly might be looking for food and they don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So having my background, I try to share that so it sheds a bit more light and remind people that when the flags are up, they're up there for a reason. And,
right.
And we need to honor the ocean and the animals and what they're going through and remember they're trying to survive too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like you said, our hearts and thoughts definitely go out to the victims of the recent attacks, but did just want to get your take on that as someone with a little more expertise than probably some others that we've been reading from. So thank you for sharing that for sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience today?
I think the most important thing is that there's going to be times in life when things are going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times after we go through something that sticks with us, we have to remember to not focus all the time on the past. Present time is a gift to ourselves. That's why it's called present mm-hmm. time. And there are smiles and happiness in the future. Don't let your past steal your future minutes. We only get so many, and in a blink of an eye, they're gone. Mm-hmm. So honor your emotions, but realize that you have to come to terms with what it was, accept it, realize you are 100% successful at every day of your life. We never get a chance to practice that. Yeah. So if you remember that, you've always done your best every single day and you will continue to do your best. Just look forward and grow through your grief. Find joy and spread it in the abundance. You will be so shocked at the abundance of amazing things that come into your life if you share your story and help others.
Yeah, oh, I love that. Like, I feel better now just hearing it. So thank you. And I also want to ask, what is your favorite book? I like to ask everyone on the podcast this question.
Oh, this is funny. My favorite book is Dante's Inferno.
Okay.
Which I've always loved. I took a course on it in college. Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Like, it is, you know, the Divine Comedy, which is hilarious and not hilarious, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about, you know, this guy who has gone through great loss. And I loved the book long before I went through it. And all he's trying to do is get to her in heaven. But in order to do that, he has to go down through the levels of hell and work his way up through purgatory to find her again. And he realizes that he is going through his emotions and his losses and his mistakes, and that he has to come to terms with that and forgive himself and honor that and in order to move forward and be at peace. So I didn't know back then how much that was going to fit in now, but I love that book.
Yeah, it is crazy how the things that we read always, I feel like, kind of come back to us, the ones that we really like. So, well, thank you for sharing that. And tell us where we can find your book, which is The Widowed Dancer by Brian Martin.
I self-published. It's on Amazon.
Okay.
You can get it on Kindle. It's paperback or hardcover.
And we hope that we'll check that out. Thank you again so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, everyone. See you next time.